Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Well, welcome to Voices of Women, and happy Friday. I thought I'd go online and see, like, what is today supposed to be? There's a focus, you know, they do, you know, Mother's Day and Father's Day, but every day has something. And actually, there's usually more than one. And I picked out one is National Pack Rat Day. So it's honoring those of us who are many of us who hang on to things, pile things up. So today, you're allowed to, and they tell you don't clean up or discard anything. Honor your pack rat. So I love that. Also, it's 17. Mai, which is the Independence Day for Norway. It was declared in 1814 when they were under Swedish rule. And I share that because that's my heritage. I want to honor my relatives in Norway in their celebration today. And it's actually celebrated all over the globe where Norwegians have immigrated to. My father always walked in the 17. Mai parade in Ballard, which is the neighborhood in Seattle where many Norwegians settled and still live, although I think there's fewer there now. Well, today my guest has a special significance to me, as my husband is impacted by having kidney disease and had a transplant 4 years ago. So I'm very grateful for his unknown donor, and he wakes up every morning being very grateful and thankful that he's still alive. Well, Suzanne Ruff is a living kidney donor, but she's more than that. She's a storyteller. She says it's because she's Irish. The author of the inspiring, poignant, funny, and powerful award-winning book, The Reluctant Donor, Suzanne is also a freelance writer for the Charlotte Observer and has been published in the Chicken Soup for the Soul books, Grieving and Recovery, and also the Chicken Soup for the Soul Harvard Medical School series, Say Hello to a Better Body. Suzanne serves on the executive committee of the Living Donor Council of the National Kidney Foundation and volunteers with the PKD Foundation. She works tirelessly to tell others how organ donation has saved her family. There have been 6 kidney transplants to 6 different people in her family because of a genetic disease. And Suzanne was the only one in her family not to inherit the disease. She was named after her grandmother, who died of kidney failure before Suzanne was born. And today, Suzanne is making a difference for many people besides her family, 19 of which have been afflicted with PKD. She's one of the nation's greatest advocates for organ transplant and is a sought-after speaker across the country. Her website is www.thereluctantdonor.com. So welcome, Suzanne, to Voices of Women.
Well, thank you, Chris. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, and thanks so much for being this spokesperson for such a very important health issue in our country. Tell us about what is PKD, the initials stand for something, and how prevalent is it?
PKD stands for polycystic kidney disease, and every 1 in 500 people have it. It is the most common of the genetic diseases, and yet no one has really heard much about it, which is frustrated me to no end because it impacted my life so greatly. But it's what PKD is that suddenly, usually in midlife, multiple cysts of varying sizes grow and on both kidneys and cover it, causing them to the kidneys to fail. The cysts are uncontrolled cell proliferation, and they don't know why they start to grow or what causes that. They're fluid-filled, they're benign, but a PKD kidney can grow enormously, and then it chokes the kidney, and then the kidneys fail. And so I know you mentioned your husband, and he does not have PKD, but he had another kidney disease, which I always tease people and say, you know, you really should respect your kidneys. They're just most amazing part of, just as the heart is. All our body is a miraculous machine, but I have a great deal of respect and love for kidneys, of course.
Well, it's amazing what the kidneys do. I mean, you know, when you come to a situation where you have a health issue with them, you find out. My husband studied it a lot. In fact, he knew more than any other patient that his doctors were dealing with. And he was always asking questions.
That's very, very smart of him. I mean, your kidneys are, a normal kidney is about the size of your fist, and they weigh 10 ounces. And a PKD kidney can grow to weigh about, they can grow to be about 35 pounds. My sister has the disease, and the doctors have told her, one of my sisters, that each of her kidneys weigh 14 pounds, her PKD kidney. That's, if you pick up a 28-pound turkey in the frozen food section,
yeah,
you know, that's a lot of weight to be, and that's what PKD does. So you're right. The kidneys, they control your blood pressure, which is why it's a silent. That's your first tip, that your kidneys are failing, that you have undetected high blood pressure. And they control your vitamin D. They're just amazing little organs. You're right.
Yeah, and the main reason of kidney failure is high blood pressure or diabetes.
You're right.
Yeah, and they're saying there's going to be a lot more people with needing kidney transplants or having kidney disease, and diabetes is going to be on the rise because of our diet.
Yes, I think the numbers are... there's about 116,000 people on the waiting list for a transplant. 90,000 of the people are waiting for a kidney transplant. 24% of them, I believe, are because of diabetes, and 27% are untreated high blood pressure. It might be reversed, but, I mean, you're right. Most people are just so surprised. So knowing your... being informed as your husband is and learning as much as he did is the greatest advice one of my sisters would give anybody, because she was in denial. So knowing your numbers, whether you're listening and you're, you know, no history of kidney disease, just know your blood pressure and know your numbers.
Yeah, yes, and especially as we get older. Well, and also, it's an inherited disease. So tell us about that. I mean, and there's no cure for it. And so you can be tested for the PKD version of it.
You're right. It's if your parent has PKD or carries the PKD gene, and some people with the PKD gene never develop problems. Their kidneys never fail. I believe it's 10%. But if your parent has PKD, you have a 50% chance of inheriting the disease. So in my case, I won the genetic lottery pool because I did not inherit it, and my sisters did, and we have just so many members of the family that have inherited. Obviously, you mentioned I'm Irish Catholic from the south side of Chicago, and I have a large family, so... that's why there's so many of us, too. But it is a disease that has no cure and no treatment, although there's a lot more hope now than there is or there was. And that was really one of the main motivators for why I wrote the book. I have a godchild who is the daughter of my sister, so she has a 50% chance of inheriting the disease. And I wrote the book so she would never forget how far we've come in the treatment of kidney disease, because in my lifetime, we have so much more hope than we did just when I was born. I'm sorry, a red cardinal just landed outside my window. And he's chirping.
Well, tell us about, I mean, because your mother had this disease and died from it, and she had a kidney transplant. Was she on dialysis too?
Yes, my mother was the youngest of six children. My grandmother, as you mentioned earlier, died before I was born. I was named after her. My mother was a teenager when her mother died, and of the six children, five of the six had PKD, and my mother, being the youngest, was the last one to develop the disease. But with the death of each one of her brothers and sisters, I remember visiting her one time on dialysis. She was on dialysis for 10 years. I don't know how she did it, but she did it, and she was, I visited her one day, and I remember walking in, and a dialysis machine is an artificial kidney, and it cleans your blood, which is what our kidneys do. And she was hooked up to the machine with all the tubes. One of my daughters said it looked like Grandma had red licorice stick ropes all around the dialysis machine, but that was her, every drop of blood in her body being cleansed by this machine. And my mother said to me, "I'm so lucky. Aren't I lucky?" And here she is hooked up to a machine, and I thought, what an incredible woman my mother is. And she had a zest for life, and she said, "With the death of each of my brothers and sisters, medical science learned something to save me." And it is exactly true what happened. Her oldest sister and one of the people I loved most died at age 45 because there weren't enough dialysis machines. Dialysis was never covered by Medicare until 1973. And by the time my mom needed dialysis, it was approved by Medicare.
Yes. Okay, well, we're going to come back. I have to interrupt you, but we're going to come back and hear more of the story. This is Chris Danis, and you're listening to Voices of Women.
Tune into Intuit University, compassionate guidance, connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard. Each Thursday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, get ready for an hour of practical spirituality, fun, and a magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring, as Sherry supports, inspires, and empowers you to create your highest good in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, spirituality, and more. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Saskia has been helping clients around the world find the North Star in their soul and reinvent their lives through her free breakthrough program, The Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 Days. If you have a calling but aren't sure how to get there, here's a step-by-step strategy to find your purpose now. You'll learn her proven secrets to achieve your dream in just 21 days. Release your fears and go after your biggest dreams and create the life you love. Visit YourSoulGuidance.com to receive your 21 Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams or to schedule your Soul Breakthrough Session with Saskia. Or call 978-302-0861. That's 978-302-0861. Or visit YourSoulGuidance.com. That's YourSoulGuidance.com to receive the Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 days.
Have you ever considered what money and sex have in common? Brenda St. Louis, founder of Know That You Know, explores the energies of debt, money, sex, and our bodies. In her four-week intensive Debt Into Delight, Getting Intimate With Your Digits, she tickles all those places we don't want to look at, infusing everything with exuberance. Would you be willing to have more money? Would you be willing to have more of you? Explore more of Brenda St. Louis at knowthatyouknow.com.
Women of strength, women of wisdom, women of strength, women of wisdom, women of strength.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and I'm talking with Suzanne Ruff, author of The Reluctant Donor. Well, let's talk about, Suzanne, about your reluctance. You told me, you went in kicking and screaming, you know, and you had a really hard time coming to the decision, which is understandable. It's a huge deal to give up an organ, and this is one that we can give, besides liver is another one, and I guess lungs, because you have two lungs. But
well, I truly went into it kicking and screaming and whining, and I drove my husband insane, and I just had a real phobia for hospitals and needles and blood. I've been known to faint when I got a flu shot, but I think I associated hospitals with death because we've had 9 deaths from this disease. And I truly hated the disease, and I hated hospitals, and everyone I seemed to love the most went into the hospital and died. So I think, you know, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure out why I hated them. And I don't think anybody likes to be in the hospital. And you're in perfectly good health, a living donor, and then you go in and, you know, you yank out a body part. That's all I could think of. I just couldn't imagine anybody doing that. You don't know if your life will change. Psychologically, having a genetic disease in the family is a heavy load to carry, and then psychologically trying to decide to be a living donor, I found it very difficult. I've talked to other living donors who are much braver than I am, and they seem to be very calm with it. But I guess I'm like the cowardly lion in the Wizard of Oz. That's what I always tell people. But I also had the family history, and I knew what my sister's life would be like because my mother was on dialysis for 10 years, and I just knew what her life would be like, and I knew what I was supposed to do, and that's what I really believed, that I was meant to do that for her. I did whine the whole time, though.
Yeah, and even in your book, you talk about even, you know, the morning when you're to go to in to have your kidney removed, there's a part of you that doesn't know if you can really go through with it.
And we walked across the street from the hospital, the hotel to the hospital, and I remember there was a group of joggers going by the hospital, and it was an unseasonably warm October day in the city of Chicago, and I wanted more than anything to just start jogging and running away with the joggers that were, I mean, I didn't even want to go enter in the hospital, and when the doors opened, my sister was standing there waiting, and she didn't have to be there as early as I did, and she was there, and she was all choked up, and she said, "I didn't think you'd be here," and I said, "Well, I haven't done it yet." I mean, right up until going into that surgery, I didn't know if I could do it.
And you're like the only, you have two sisters who have the disease. And I imagine I was reading up about this, that it's normal for people to be afraid of donating a kidney. And also experience the guilt about not wanting to be a donor. And I would imagine it would have been a lot of guilt for you not giving your kidney because it's your sister and knowing what she would be going through.
Well, it's really interesting. I almost didn't publish my book because it's very honest and very open. I mean, there's things about it that made me wonder, could I really put that out there? But I have had people write to me and through the book website telling me that they don't want to do it. And I understand that completely. And they shouldn't do it if they don't want to. For me, it's the best thing I ever did. I changed my sister's life. She's healthy and happy, and I changed as a person. But I believed that that's what I was supposed to do. And I discovered that there is incredible courage and strength within me, just as there is in each of us. And so for me, it all worked. Obviously, it's a risk. Surgery is a risk. The doctors know so much more than they ever knew. I went to, you know, one of the top-rated hospitals. I know I did the right thing, but yes, it's very terrifying. But I think any surgery is terrifying. There's risks involved. They caution you about risks. But for me, I guess I just knew that that was what I felt like that's what I was supposed to do. As far as not being able to live with myself, if I hadn't done it, there's a prayer that I love, and my husband pointed it out to me when I was trying to make my decision. And I had such great support. But it's a tough decision, but for me it was the right decision.
Yes, I was reading up on it, and they do say, you know, that extremely rare to have, you know, death as a result of a kidney donation. And the current research indicates that kidney donation does not change your life expectancy or increase your risk of developing kidney disease. So they've come a long way with all this.
But there really isn't enough research on living donors, and that is part of my mission right now. There's not a National Institute of Health study on living donors, and for my cousin, my nieces and nephews, I'm hoping that there will be more studies done. I mean, so that in 60, 70 years, people who are living donors can look back and see what some of us living donors have been faced with. Luckily, I've been blessed with excellent health, and I still can do everything I used to do, and everything went well. But there are issues, and that's why I'm on the Living Donor Committee, so that we address them and we develop research. But you're right. Most living donors live a long, healthy life, but there isn't enough research on us. And I'm hoping and trying to work toward changing that.
Yeah, well, it's not been around that long. The first transplants were in the 50s,
yep.
And then it really was much a little bit later than that that they've kind of perfect. You know, now they do. It's a much simpler operation.
It is definitely not as, what would the best word be, exotic It's more common. It's routine to all of us now. And really, every transplant is not routine. Every transplant is a miracle. The fact that your husband received a gift from a total stranger is the reason my mother was able to live 15 more years and see her grandchildren grow up, because of another stranger. My other sister received a kidney almost 19 years ago from a stranger. Those are incredible gifts that we give to each other. And I always say, in the event of a sudden or unexpected death, to be an organ donor is the greatest thing you could do for your fellow man and for families like mine and yours.
Yeah, and my husband was from a deceased person, but that's where we can all help out by having our organ status on our driver's license. And there's more, but there's more need. And so there's more call of even living donors because of the need. It's so many people on the wait list. And I think the numbers have increased for living donors. Because there's such a need. And so I know that there's organizations like ones you work for and stuff that are really promoting that for people to consider that.
Right. I always tell everybody, I'm not here to talk about promoting living donors being a living donor. That's a very personal decision. For me, it was the best one, and for almost all the living donors I've talked with, too, agree. There are risks involved, but to be an organ donor on your driver's license in the event of a sudden or unexpected death, I do promote that. It's just, to me, the greatest thing you could do to help, you know, a fellow human being. And that part I really
use to impact and improve the health of so many people. So it's really quite amazing. We are listening to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis. When we come back, we'll explore more with Suzanne Ruff, author of The Reluctant Donor.
Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Want to know what the best-kept secret in Access Consciousness is? It's the Access Gold Club. Demanding more change and the latest and greatest, but can't always get to all the classes you desire? Let Gary and Dane come to you. Join the Gold Club, and each month you'll receive a 60-minute live call, a weekly email on the month's theme containing the latest clearings in written form, and an MP3 loop. Twice a month, receive a brand new video with Gary and Dane. How does it get any better than this? In addition to receiving a CD format of the monthly call mailed to you, you'll also enjoy a surprise bonus gift. Be in on the secret. Join today at www.isnowthetime.com/special-tips.
Tune in to Peace World Radio, vibrant conversations to change the world with Christina Jantz, each second Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and KKNW. This hit show is energetic, vibrant, and an engaging forum that's getting people talking. Christina brings you extraordinary and courageous people, bold in thought and action, who dare to dream that things can be different. Peace World Radio. Join the talk the world is having.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Questions in Consciousness. People just like you who want to shift and change what isn't working for them, who want to shift and change what isn't working on the planet. Questions. That's about shifting and changing whatever isn't working for you. Consciousness includes everything and judges nothing. Questions in Consciousness. A telecall with like-minded people from all around the world, which gives you the place and space to ask what isn't working for you.
For more information, go to questionsinconsciousness.net. That's questionsinconsciousness.net.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and we're talking about The Reluctant Donor, and the author is Suzanne Ruff. And one of the things, Suzanne, in your book, and personally you have, because you have such a family history, is your grandmother's story.
My grandmother was who I was named after, and when her kidneys began to fail in the 1940s, World War II was going on, and she had three sons that served in the war. And when I heard the story of my grandmother, I loved listening to and thinking about and connecting the dots, because while her sons were fighting the war, there was a doctor over in the Netherlands who was experimenting because he had a 19-year-old patient whose kidneys were failed. And I always think about how that while he was working with the parts that he used to create dialysis, a washing machine, a hose, and orange juice cans, from what my research shows, he was experimenting with the first dialysis machine. And my grandmother had three sons fighting in the war, and her kidneys were failing, and how what he did was going to help her six children. So in the 1940s, my grandmother was known for her gracious entertaining and her dinner parties. And when the doctors told her that there was nothing more they could do for her, that her kidneys were failing and they just had no other treatment, she went home and told my grandfather that she wanted to recarpet the house so it looked nice for the funeral. And she died 3 months later. It was one of the largest funerals because she was so loved. And the house was filled with guests after the funeral. And one by one, each one of her children developed the disease, which the first was my aunt. And I mentioned to you that there was not enough dialysis machines for her. So from the 1940s, when my grandmother was beginning to fail, and that doctor was creating the first dialysis machine, and then up to the 1960s when my aunt became ill and there were not enough machines, it really is an amazing journey of the way we were all, of the way that dialysis and the treatment of kidney disease has progressed. And it's really not that long ago, 60, 70 years of my lifetime, that we have seen all this progress made. And I just hope people will understand that, because when my uncle became ill and his kidneys were beginning to fail, his friends all chipped in to pay for his dialysis because he was a member of the Knights of Columbus, and he couldn't afford. He was a lawyer, and he was a self-employed lawyer, and he had five children, and he couldn't afford dialysis. He lived in the state of Maryland. And I just am amazed when I go through the timeline to where we are today in the treatment of kidney disease and the incredible progress that's been made. And one of the greatest compliments I receive from the book is when someone tells me that they take the book with them to dialysis because it makes them laugh, because we had a great sense of humor in our family. And I think I'm just humbled that they realize that we are living in such a phenomenal time in medical science, to be blessed with transplantation, even though I mentioned earlier it's almost Frankensteinish to be giving body parts to your sister. But, you know, if you put it in perspective, we've really come a long way, and it's a definite gift.
Oh, yeah, and even dialysis has changed so much. You can do it at home now. There's many, many different options, and it's I don't think you can say it's not available for people now in the U.S.
No, it's definitely covered by covered by Medicare, and everyone receives dialysis now. But it wasn't that long ago that wasn't possible, and that's what dialysis is a tough life, because it's a machine that's keeping you alive, but it's also a gift. And I really want people to understand that that it's really a gift, and there's hope today, more hope than there was for my grandmother.
Yes, and you know it extends life for 10 or, and I'm sure that varies how long people's lives are extended. It is harder on them to be in dialysis. It's much better to have a donor. A kidney transplant before you have dialysis, which my husband did, and I'm very grateful for that, because I think for that he is healthier. You go on dialysis, you go 3 times a week. It's like, is it be an essence of like peeing 3 times a week?
That is exactly right. In fact, there's a joke in my family when my sisters and I talk to each other. If if you wake up in the morning and you can pee, it's going to be a great day. Because, I mean, that your kidneys, I mean, if they're not working, dialysis does what they do. And you are right. It is like going for three. It is a very difficult life. My mother was on dialysis for 10 years. And to this day, my sister was on dialysis for 10 months before I was approved to give her a kidney. And she said to me over and over, I don't know how in the world Mom was able to do this for 10 years. But we've met people that have been on dialysis for 20, 22 years. And if you follow the direction and, you know, it said, my sister called it the cardboard diet because you have to be so careful of what you eat. And your, your fluid intake is so reduced because you can't eliminate. So it is a very difficult job, I mean, difficult life, but my sister used to take her little, I can't remember how many ounces of liquid she was allowed per day, and she was the queen on dialysis. She followed everything to all the rules, all the restrictions, because she wanted to be in good health. She actually collapsed because she was in denial about her disease, and so she was in critical condition when she started dialysis because she didn't, that's in the book too, our parents didn't tell us the truth about the fact that they told us no one had PKD when in fact all three out of four of us had PKD. And she will tell you not to handle her disease the way she did. Know your blood pressure. Know your, you know, ask your doctor, how are my kidneys doing when you have your annual checkup?
Yeah, it shows up in the blood tests. There's the amount of creatinine and different things, so they know, you know, when you're not, kidneys aren't functioning. So you definitely can find that out, and that's that thing of, you know, going for your annual exams and keeping on top of that.
Yes, exactly. You have to keep, you are your own best advocate, and it's your body. My mother used to say that all the time. It's your body, and nobody knows it like you do. And take care of it and speak up.
And that's the case for anything health-wise, that we have to be our own advocate. And when you have family in that hospital, you need to go there and be their advocate. You do have to. I mean, that's how I felt. We were always there for my mom and dad when they were in the hospital. It's just, you know, nurses, they're very busy, overworked, and you have to check that they're, you know, there's a sign up there, don't take the blood pressure on the right arm. Sometimes you have to tell them that, even though it's written on the board above their head. They need the advocates.
Yes, my heart goes out to people who are alone in the hospital and have no one to help them or to be their advocate, because it is, you don't think as clear when, obviously, if you're in the hospital, you're not feeling well. And I had one of my daughters was my advocate, and I told her, you know, I actually jokingly said, I want you to be my advocate to make sure I keep breathing. And she took me literally. She actually sat by my bed for 2 days, didn't sleep, just to make sure I was breathing. And I meant what you're saying, Chris, you know, keep, mm-hmm. just to keep an eye on. We've had some good laughs over that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, also your husband was very good and supportive. And when you went through this whole scenario of deciding or not trying to decide, are you going to donate and all the fears you had, he always told you, well, today you're not giving a kidney. Today you are just doing this. Today is not the...
You don't have to give anybody a kidney today. That's what he used to say. We just have to go to work today or whatever it was. And it's funny, the emails I get from the book on my website, some woman wrote, where do you find a husband like that? And he's been nicknamed Saint William because his name is Bill for putting up with me.
Well, and you need that support. So what advice would you give for living donors, doctors, to the doctors? Because you've had this experience of being a living donor and probably have dealt with many doctors.
I have noticed when most doctors, and right after my book came out, we moved to another state. And when you go to a new doctor as a living donor and they see that you're a living donor, most of them are sort of taken aback. And I would advise them to really and truly help the living. If a patient comes in who is a living donor, the doctor needs to remind them to keep an eye on their kidney function, obviously, and to always remind them, because a living donor is cautioned that their blood pressure might run higher after giving a kidney, to know what their blood pressure is. And I sound like a broken record, I'm sorry, but your blood pressure is a great indicator of. A lot of people don't know what their blood pressure is, and it's important to keep it down.
They have the blood pressure machines in the drugstore. Well, this is Chris Stainis, voice on Voices of Women, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Suzanne Ruff.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Having trouble keeping up with the accelerated, life-altering changes occurring on the planet? The Quantum Vortex is the brainchild of Meg Benedicte, a pioneer in quantum healing and energetic activations. Weaving together ancient spiritual knowledge, quantum physics, and vibrational healing, Meg Benedicte is accelerating change at the cellular level. For more details on private sessions, meditation CDs, downloads, and teleseminars, visit NewEarthCentral.com.
Tune in each Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Awakening Radio with Patricia. This hit show awakens your dormant, divine, feminine energy. The Awakening Show is the next step on your evolutionary journey through life. Get ready to awaken the dormant seedings within you, your soul's encodement, power, and purpose, and bring this forward with confidence and clarity through the power of your own voice. This show promises to boldly go where you've been before. You just need to remember. Be inspired. Become rewired with The Awakening Radio. Visit awakeningradio.com for weekly topics.
Grateful patients have been saying it for 25 years. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. Dr. Thane of Wellness One of Bellevue has been named one of the nation's top chiropractors by the Consumers Research Council of America, and for good reason. He has helped his patients recover their energy and vitality after car accidents, sports injuries, herniated discs, fatigue due to stress, the list goes on. The website is bellevue.wellnessone.net. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. That's bellevue.wellnessone.net.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
Tune in to The Michelle Bond Show. Awaken to a new reality. Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. This call-in show with Vedic astrologer, expert, and holistic health practitioner, Michelle Bond, will give you insight to a wide range of topics. This hit show provides healthy, empowering knowledge and information and restores your health and well-being through learning the latest complementary and alternative medicine modalities. Visit themichellebondshow.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. This is Chris Stainis, and I'm talking with Suzanne Ruff. Suzanne, can you give your website and where people might find your book?
Sure, it's www.thereluctantdonor.com.
Okay, and I recommend people, especially if you have experience with kidney disease in your family or someone who's in need of a kidney donation, it would be a really good read. So what are some of the reasons people don't become an organ donor?
I'm so glad you asked, Chris, because there's so many myths out there. And there's a funny story in my book about a man from South Africa who my husband and I became friends with. And he was so against organ donation. He fell for the greatest myth and that the doctors would not save his life if he were in an accident or injured at the hospital. And that is a myth. It's not true. The doctor's number one priority is to save your life. They've taken an oath to do that. Your status as a donor is not even considered until every effort has been made to save your life. Most people ask me questions about religion, and all the major religions support organ donation. It's a generous gift of love and caring. There's no cost to being an organ donor to your family. If you were an organ donor and you had experienced a sudden death, But the major reason that people are afraid is that the doctors won't save their lives. If you're an organ donor, you can save up to 60 people with tissues and bone. And amazing progress has been made in the number of people that can be saved. Everyone is created equal on the organ donor waiting list. Celebrities do not get bumped because, people think celebrities receive first or higher priority. And I'm from Chicago, and I don't know, Walter Payton was a famous Chicago Bear football player, much loved, and he was on the waiting list, and he, for a liver, not a kidney, but He did die before he received a liver transplant. I always make sure I point that out. To me, the greatest myth, though, is that the doctors won't save your life. I've worked a lot of health fairs, and my funniest was one woman refused to sign an organ donor card, which I completely understand people's fears, even if after she was dead. And the reason she gave was because she was never going to die.
Oh. Well, there's a little denial there.
Yeah. I asked her to tell me how that worked out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because this is brought about by a genetic disease in your family, PKD, how is there any work going on for a cure for that, or how much hope do you have?
There is great hope. There is I'm so glad you asked. There is a new drug called tolvaptan that is being, it has been done in trial studies for the last few years. And there's some evidence that it's shrinking the cysts, and there's a lot of excitement. The drug has gone to the FDA to be approved. There is more hope than ever with that there will be a treatment for PKD. And my dad is going to be turning 90 years old, and he has said that he's not leaving this earth until there's a cure.
Oh, yeah. You talk about him in the book. He did a lot to promote awareness about the PKD and
he's very proud of the fact that he made a phone call that resulted in the first federal funds to be allotted toward the research of the disease. So he's taught us all to be proactive in finding a cure, and that's what I hope my book would do. I hope somebody might pick it up that's working in a lab and be inspired to help families like mine, because every PKD family story is just like our story. It's a terrible disease.
Oh, yeah, and you think, I mean, we all deal with disease and have family members who passed away, but it's the one or, you know, two people. It's not like the impact of losing so many people, all your aunts and uncles. You know, just think of that as a kid growing up, that, or even young adult, or, you know, that the impact that would have on you and growing up.
It's, a lot of people don't understand there is a psychological aspect of living with a genetic disease that is hard to explain. It's kind of like the elephant in the room, and you wonder if you have it, if he has it, if she has it. And it's now into the fifth generation of our family, and last month, or 3 weeks ago, April 16th, one of my cousins died so very suddenly from a complication of his transplant. He had a transplant last summer from his loving wife, and everything was perfect until he developed this complication that the doctor said was a 1% chance of developing, and he died 2 weeks later, and it's still taking my breath away. I mean, a transplant is a Band-Aid in a way. Even though it's a great gift from medical science, I still hope there'll be a cure for PKD.
Yeah, because it is a disease that, yeah. And as far as other issues, like people who have diabetes or high blood pressure, there are things you can do to never even go down that road.
That is true, definitely true.
You know, just, you know, paying attention to our health and, like you say, knowing our blood pressure and doing things when it is high, well, and there's medicine for that, but there's even health, there's even just eating habits that help that too. We don't always have to go to medicine to cure everything. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today and for just being this advocate for kidney donors and finding cures for PKD and all that you're doing.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes. So, again, check out her book on www.thereluctantdonor by Suzanne Ruff. So I'd like to leave everyone with this thought today. Have you ever thought of being a donor? Are you an organ donor on your driver's license? They're so needed. So take some thought to think, you know, if that's something you can do and you can easily have it added to your driver's license or have that changed and make an impact on other people's lives. So I want to remind people you can sign up for the monthly newsletter at Women of Wisdom, www.womenofwisdom.org. Find out about our monthly events. I'm very excited. We're going to be doing a fundraiser on June 29th in Seattle. It's a sacred pampering day for women. We are bringing this back. We used to do this 10 years ago. And we're looking for practitioners, pamperers. If you have a gift to share, whether it's a healing art or a body work or tarot, psychic readers, everyone is welcome. We have, you know, people who do acupuncture, movement things. It's a really fun day, and it's a fundraiser for Women of Wisdom. Just go to our website, womenofwisdom.org, and look under programs. You'll see Sacred Pampering and find out. You can get the information in the application form to be part of this special day for Women of Wisdom. So I'm Christina, founder of Women of Wisdom organization, and also author of the Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. And I recommend it for an inspiring gift. It's written many stories from many women who are part of Women of Wisdom and our speakers and art and poetry. And besides our, just as our conference, the book has changed people's lives in exploring the divine feminine as well. And you can get that on our website as well. So next week I'll be interviewing Sadina Kapalani, author of Do Not Go Quietly. So have a great weekend, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think the Dr. Pat show's the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe? Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great, we should spread the word.
Absolutely, spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that.
Love is officially in the air. Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show is showing you love all year long, not just for Valentine's Day. Dr. Pat, known for her Pay It Forward manifesto, is now joined by the hosts on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm in love, baby, with Transformation Talk Radio. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. Amazing host, incredible guest. Get your groove on. Feel the love, be the love.
Can't get enough of your love, babe. Lord, some things I can't get used to.
Stop. Get out of that car. Stop living your life in the passenger seat. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com and let us help you drive.
Transform your life.
Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio. Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transforming the world, one listener at a time.